You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, now, time to dive into that good word. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 9 through 11. Some very controversial verses. But because we teach chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and book by book, the Bible bus on Sunday mornings is in the book of 1 Corinthians. I can't skip these verses. I just couldn't go from the verses I taught last week and then just skip over these and go to the next. No, we got to deal with them. So we're going to deal with these verses before us. And Father, we do thank you for your word. We pray that you will speak this word to our heart. Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord. We're living in some desperate times, and we need a word from above, Lord. We need a word from you. So, Lord, help us to understand your truth. Give us a will to want to obey. Give us a mind to understand the heart of God in these verses. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, looking at verses 9 through 11, the title of this message is Changed by Christ. Changed by Christ. Now, one of the main characteristics that shows that Jesus Christ is truly in a person's life is a changed life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 demonstrates this fact. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What a beautiful thing Jesus does in the lives of those who put their faith and trust in him. He changes us and makes us new. Now, does this mean that we will never fall back into our old sins? And if we do slip and fall, have we lost our salvation? These verses will answer these and other questions that comes to us around this subject. Now, by way of background, so we can understand the context that these verses are in, let's remember this, the context. Paul rebuking those in the Corinthian church for taking each other to court before unbelievers that he identifies as unrighteous in verse 1. Then he told them in verse 2 how one day that Christians will help Jesus judge the world and even judge angels. And how the person who is considered the least in the church could judge accurately what they were taken to the unrighteous court. Now, he calls them unrighteous courts because the courts out in the world, they're concerned about upkeeping the laws of the land, not about what is spiritual or what is biblical. They want to know, did you violate the laws in the land? So he called them unrighteous courts. And, you know, and Paul continues his rebuke by saying, shame on you for cheating each other and then taking it to an unrighteous court to decide when a wise believer could decide on this matter. And he is saying that their behavior resembles more like the behavior of the unrighteous world around them and not of Christ. Now he's about to give the lifestyles of the unrighteous that some in the Corinthian church were imitating. Now, I know that these particular verses are not, you know, going to be very popular to hear these things. One thing I just love how the Word of God addresses all of these issues. These verses are going to sound strange to us because we're in the world so much. I tell you all the time, I might have you for maybe 1 hour on a Sunday. And if you're super spiritual, maybe 1 hour on Wednesday. The rest of the time, you're in the world. You're hearing their thoughts. You're hearing their sayings. You're signing off on their creeds. And the world is trying to help shape our whole mindset. So this is why Asa said in Psalm 73, he said, my foot almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the righteous. Then he goes on to say, but when I went into the sanctuary, Then I saw their end. I saw things from God's perspective when I go into the sanctuary. So here you are in the sanctuary. We're going to see things from God's perspective, opposed to what the world says out there. Now, notice the first part of verse 9. He said, do you not know? Stop right there. Now, in this phrase, Paul was saying that the man who had wronged his brother and taken him to court, that he was behaving like the unrighteous world around him. Notice Paul said that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, Paul is saying, do you want to behave like those who will not inherit the kingdom of God? Then he added, and I'm so glad he added this phrase, do not be deceived. I am so glad that he added this phrase because a lot of people are deceived when it comes to these verses and those like them. Now, Satan is the ultimate deceiver. His job is to make people doubt God's word or doubt what God has said. Now, this goes back to the book of Genesis. There's nothing new under the sun. When Satan used this tactic to deceive Eve, when she clearly told Satan what God told them, how they were not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lest they die. What did Satan say in response to this? Genesis 6:4, he says, you will not surely die. Casting doubt upon the words of God is how Satan deceives people. Oh, he's still doing it today, especially when it comes to these verses and verses like them. God says, if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And people will respond, that is not true. Or I don't believe that. Casting doubt about the word of God. Oh, just like he did with Eve. Now, the list of sins he has down here, it's not exhaustive. Some covers all of the categories of sins under a general topic. Let me give you an example as we read. It said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He said, do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexual, nor sodomites. Now, to show you that some are categories, categories under the one topic. Let me give you an example of this. The word fornication there, it refers to having a sexual relationship with a person you are not married to. However, the Greek word is porneia, and it covers all forms of illicit sexual behaviors. That covers adultery, incest. Porneia is where we get pornography from, homosexuality, and other forms of sexual behavior. Then he says idolaters. Idolatries is the Greek word, and it means image worshiper. Nor adulterers. Now watch this. The Greek word here is moikos. And even though adultery can be covered under porneia, it has a very specific Greek word that refers to a male who violates the exclusivity of the marital covenant by engaging in sexual relations with someone else's spouse or someone who is not your spouse, which has its roots in what the seventh commandment said in Exodus 20 in verse 14 that says you shall not commit adultery. Let me pause right here and just say, do you have someone else's spouse? Meaning, are you in a sexual relationship with someone else's husband or wife? Well, Pastor Tony, you don't understand. They're separated. So that means they're not divorced yet then. And seeing that they're not divorced, they're somebody else's husband or somebody else's spouse. See, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 24, unless they have a certificate of divorce, they're still married. They're still somebody else's spouse. They're still someone else's husband. They're still someone else's wife. And today, if you point this out, people will start yelling, "You judging me." Yes, we are. Because the Bible says if you're practicing these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, we love you too much to see you not inherit the kingdom of God. So I'm telling you this in love. You remember John the Baptist got beheaded for telling Herod that it was not lawful for him to have his brother. No, and the Bible says his brother Philip's wife. Herodias, the woman called in question here, she held this against him and looked to get revenge. Just know if you're here, precious people, and someone did you wrong, someone said something against you and you're looking to get revenge, Satan will always open up a door for you to get even. And when you walk through, there's a hardness that will enter your soul like never before. She did get even. When her daughter Salome danced for Herod and his friends. I mean, this is what I'm about to say. It's not the first time this was said. I don't know what kind of wiggling that they were doing that would put video vixens to shame. I know old girl said hips don't lie, but let me tell you, after she did this dance, he promised to give her up to half his kingdom. I mean, are you kidding me? What kind of dance was that? Up to half his kingdom. And this is not the first time a king said this. I don't know what kind of wiggling they were doing back then. The man promised to give her half her kingdom. And watch this. Salome ran to her mother and said, "What should I ask for?" She immediately said with a Grinch smile, "Give me the head of John the Baptist." Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29 tells us this story. So Herod beheaded John the Baptist, placed it on a platter, gave it to Salome, and Salome gave it to her mother. Please understand that any church, Christian, or group who will have the boldness to speak out against sexual sins, people will look to have your head. But I will say again, if you are practicing adultery or these other sins, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, you may say, "I don't believe that." This is why Paul said again, do not be deceived. Because Satan deceives people into thinking that they are the exception to this rule. They always think that they're the exception. That they're not, that this doesn't go for them. It doesn't apply to them. That they are always the exception. No. He continues by saying, notice what he says there in verse 9. Nor homosexuals. The conjunction nor means he's introducing another negative thought. The first negative thought, the fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now he says nor homosexuals. Now, even though this is a clear condemnation of homosexuality, there are those who try to say, to justify the practice of this sin, that Paul was speaking of homosexual prostitution, not a loving, caring homosexual relationship. There is no doubt that God is speaking of homosexual acts of all kinds, like this, because the Greek word, just from the Greek word porneia, covers homosexuality. Now, this particular Greek word is malakoi, and it speaks of an effeminate man. And it speaks of the passive role in a homosexual behavior. Notice the next one. He says, nor, introducing another negative statement or another category or group of people who will not inherit the kingdom of God, nor sodomites. Now, this Greek word is asinokoitai. And it comes from a compound Greek word, asinos, which means male, and koite, which means bed. It refers to the active male role in a homosexual relationship. This is what blows me away. This blows me away. That people don't see how even in a homosexual relationship, one will take on an effeminate female role and one would take on a male masculine role. We got names, derogatory names that's used for that, but it's still the same thing. Showing that God designed for a relationship to be between a man and a woman, a male and a female. Simple as that. And that homosexual relationship is doing a poor job of trying to imitate the design of God. A poor job at it. Now, homosexuality was rampant in the ancient world, especially in Roman culture. 14 out of the 15 Roman emperors were either bisexual or homosexual. At the time Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, Caesar Nero was emperor. Nero castrated a boy named Sporus and then married him and brought him to the palace in full Roman wedding ceremony and made the boy his wife. Later on, Nero was declared to be the wife of another man. So Paul was addressing a subject that was very prevalent in his culture. He wasn't confused about this subject like some people like to say, oh, well, see, Paul was addressing. No, he wasn't confused about this subject, nor was he speaking about something different than what is going on today. It was going on back then. Matter of fact, watch this. I didn't even mention this first service. Watch this. There was an island back in Paul's day. There was an island that was called Lesbos. And it is believed where this sort of lesbian behavior took place, first took place on that particular island, and it was called Lesbos. So it's not like this is new stuff. This stuff has been going on forever. And Paul is addressing it because it was a big part of Roman culture, which the city of Corinth was a part of. Now, the problem, watch this. The problem we make as Christians is when we single out this sin over the other ones listed in these verses. And let me tell you why this is the case. And when you hear it, you're going to say, yeah, that makes sense. I believe that this is done because of how loud those practicing this sin is in our society. And because of this, it causes Christians to address this sin more. But we must remember what Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in love. And remember what Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So if we get fired up like those so often involved in this sin, we will end up in an argument and nothing will get accomplished for God. This is why it's not on the screen for you note takers. James 1:20. This is why James 1:20 says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Just know if they're yelling and the Christian is yelling, nothing righteous is getting done. Nothing. This is why, you know, and of course the algorithm sends me these things. I watch these videos that guys are out and they're, you know, trying to preach on the corners and stuff. And so I watch them to see how the people respond to them. God bless them. I pray for them because they're just better people than I am. I'm not called to such ministry as that. They get all up in the folks' face. They try to take their microphone and try to hit them with it or try to kick their, their speaker thing. And I just say, hey, y'all better than me. Because soon they try to take my microphone, I take the cord and wrap it around their neck. Y'all forgot I'm trained as a Marine. I'm trained as a Marine. And I'd wrap around the neck, let it go. Let it go. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for a brother. That's why I'm not called. I'm not called to that type of ministry. But they are, one guy had a cup of, like, red paint, and he dashed it all over, and, you know, and the guy said, hey, you know, Jesus loved you. You know, I'm going to have you arrested, you know, for doing that, because that's assault. And the guy was trying to walk away, had a little bit left in the cup, and he just dashed the rest of it on. As soon as he raised that cup, I'd have grabbed it and doused it on his head and pushed him, get away from me. Y'all pray for me. That's why y'all don't see me out there like that. I just can't. That's crazy. I've seen some crazy. One guy, mention it one more time. Mention that sin one more time. Mention it one more. And then the guy just happened to duck to pick up something. The guy swung. He would have knocked him out had he connected. It just, we would have been thrown down. I'm just, whoa. So y'all pray for me. I need prayer. Because I'm not called to that kind of, but these people are, and they're out there, and they're encountering the culture, and folks are met. They start talking. They won't let them talk, and they just talk over you, talk over you, just talk over you. I've been like, will you shut your mouth? Let somebody get a word in. So I just pray for, they're out there. So because they are so loud, because for those of you who are younger, you don't know this. When we were back during the time I got saved back in the 80s and stuff, it's just a different culture back then. It was just so different back then that, you know, you didn't see quite the hostility that you see today. And we used to share, we used to go out every Friday night on this boardwalk in California, and we used to go out there handing out tracts, talking to people. It was not the hostility that you see today. Folks are just, and they would get in your face and just, now you had some of that, but not quite like today. And So I pray for those who are called to be out there like that, because they are encountering some folks that is just, it's just hardcore. So because they're so loud, and it used to be a time where people used to tell us, don't shove your religion down my throat. Don't shove your beliefs. And they used to say that all the time. And I said, well, look who's doing the shoving now. Every commercial, every sitcom, every movie, every advertisement. And it's like there's a line in the movie, and they were, and I'm just like, that line wasn't even necessary. I remember this used to be off limits. I remember in a Hallmark movie. And it was, as a matter of fact, it was a Hallmark Christmas movie. And I'm just like, yeah, it's Hallmark, you know, just nice old Christmas. And, you know, so she was talking to a coworker, and they were at a restaurant, and you know, and he got the wrong idea and thought that she was trying to come on to him. And he was like, you realize that I'm gay. And I said, why did that, this dialogue even was even needed to put in there? And that's why some Christians said deuces to Hallmark, and they'd gone to another Christian station to do, because Walmart has bowed to the culture, has bowed down. The big bad people have come and said, you better get our folks in these movies or else. And they bow to the Hallmark, with the Hallmark of all people, Hallmark. So because how loud they are, Christians are addressing them, and it looks like we're only harping on that one sin. It's just because they're loud. And so we're addressing it because they're loud. So that's the reason why. Now, notice what it says in verse 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, nor thieves, nor covetous. Now, they relate to the same basic sin of greed. A covetous person desires what belongs to others while the thief actually takes it. Greed is never satisfied. It keeps wanting more and more and being satisfied less and less. And if you don't give it to them, they will find a way to take it from you. Then he says, nor drunkards. This is self-explanatory. However, drunkenness is destroying people's lives. It's destroying families, destroying jobs, destroying careers. People trying to drown away their sorrows with alcohol. It is so prevalent that even elementary age and preteens are finding themselves with the alcohol bottle. Now, here's the thing. Who you think giving it to them? They're not going to we used to call it the L store, but they're not going to the ABC store and say, yeah, give me a fifth or so-and-so. And they'd be like, get out of here, kid. Go beat it. Somebody's getting it for them. Or are they getting it from your refrigerator? See, that's somebody, they're getting it from somewhere. People coming to church drunk. I've heard, and this was back in the 70s when this took place. There was a famous, well-known preacher. He'd take a shot of alcohol before he preaches. This is diabolical. Going to their jobs drunk and then getting behind the wheel to drive home and putting all of us in jeopardy. Coming home, fighting your spouse and children because you're under the influence of alcohol. I know a relative. After working at the steel mill back home, they all used to show up at the certain watering hole in the city. And then they'll come home and just want to fight. Fighting spouse, hitting on, you know, Joe, come on, let's box. And hitting on crazy, crazy stuff. You cannot be a drunkard and inherit the kingdom of God. Well, I think that I can and will inherit the kingdom of God with everybody else. This is why Paul said again, do not be deceived. Why? Because people deceive themselves in thinking that they can practice these sins and inherit the kingdom of God. And that's just not true. It's not true. And let me just say this. Satan, another clever thing Satan does, he turns God's sins, and to remove the accountability, he calls them a disease. So it's not your fault. It's the disease's fault. So alcohol and drunkenness, so alcoholism and drunkenness, that's not a disease. If it's a disease, then what medicine do I take to get cured from it? Now, see, if you got cancer, you know, there's treatment. You got cancer, you got diabetes, you know, there's some stuff that alcohol. Well, where's the medicine to treat that? How about, you know, it's about stopping. It's about not going to the store and buying that. Well, I can't help it. Oh, so now you got your body addicted to it. There's a such thing as that. You can get your body addicted to it, and then you're in a whole bunch of trouble. But I can't tell you how many people God has delivered from drunkenness. He's delivered a lot of people. He goes on to say, nor reviler, nor extortioner. Remember, nor introducing another negative category. And even though these people were described in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 10 and 11, suffice it to say, a reviler is, don't miss this because there are a bunch of revilers in here. A reviler is a person who seeks to injure someone's reputation with abusive insults. Social media? How many people have done that? Boy, social media has given boldness to that little nerdy guy that's 30 years old in his mother's basement with glasses and pimples all on his face, and he got about 3 or 4 screens in front of him, and he's calling you everything but a child of God. Just a wimp. Hide behind, because he would never say that in your face. But behind the camera, he will, boy, he'll blast you as he pushes up his glasses, the nerdy, drinking on Pepsi and just Coca-Cola and just pimples and just... Get out of your mama's basement, for one. Get a job, a real job, instead of blasting people. And that's what a reviler is. So if you like to hide behind the screen and blast people, I just, you know, that's just not good. You're a reviler. And last time I checked, he says, nor reviler shall inherit the kingdom of God. An extortioner is one who steals by violence, or they extort people for money. It says that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't make this up. I'm just the messenger. Look what it says in verse 11. I love verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I love that. He said, and such were some of you. Paul reminds them that this is how you were living before you came to Christ, showing that a Christian should not be living this way any longer. Why? Because you were washed of these sins that used to dominate your life by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. You were sanctified. It speaks of a new behavior. You were sanctified. That word means to be set apart to live a holy life. You were justified. Speaks of our standing before God. When we repented of our sins and accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, God clothed us with his righteousness. This is why 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So if God did all of this for us, how could we go back to practicing these sins is what Paul is telling them. Seeing that the tense of the verb were, some of you, that tense of that verb is in the past tense, we should have compassion. Don't miss this. We should have compassion towards those around us living in these sins because it used to be us. But what happens is we run every now and then. We run to the little sanctified church where everybody else who've been washed and cleansed by the blood. And we huddle together and sing our kumbaya and we do our thing to the point where we lose compassion for those who are out there. We lose compassion. Hey, won't you come on over? You know, we can talk and stuff. No, I will not be coming over. Y'all like to pull out the drinks and stuff, and I'm just not about that life. Oh, no, we got some Pepsi for you, you know. Just come on over. We want to, you know, talk and chit-chat. Church, we have prayer tonight, so... And in prayer, God will say, you should have gone over there to talk to them because they wanted to hear from you what you have to say. That's why they invited you. But because we are too pure, we don't want to get stained by the world. And we walk with our nose in the air around the job and they are either somebody somewhere in the break room, or well, it used to be the break room. Now outside they're smoking. We walk through doing this, and they got some old music jamming, and you just, I don't listen to that anymore. We are a mess. We are a mess. The Lord never called us to isolate ourselves like monks or insulate ourselves like the Amish community. He called us to have contact without being contaminated by the world. That's what he's called us to. Now, I will say in your defense, if you know you can't handle those environments, don't you take yourself in those environments. The next thing you know, you tossing them up too, smoking. Hey, yeah. No, if you're going to be like that, you stay away until you can get your act together. You can't be around them doing that kind of stuff. I tell you, I haven't been in so many years, but I used to love going to our, you've heard me mention before, our high school reunions back home. Every year they have a big reunion, and all the classes get together and stuff, and so they have a Friday night thing, then a Saturday big picnic, and, you know, that kind of stuff. So I remember, you know, I've had some really good conversations talking to some classmates and stuff about how God called me to ministry, the gospel. And so I used to love going all the time. You know, I just got tired of it. But I used to love going all the time. And I remember one time, a good friend of mine I had not seen since high school. Me and him was like this. And so I was sitting at the table. He was sitting with me, and all of a sudden a song came on, and, you know, he jumped up and grabbed another classmate and started dancing. And he said, "Hey, bro, hey, watch this drink for me," and put that drink right in front of me. I said, "Devil is a liar, because people see that and think it's mine." I said, "Hey, bro, no problem." I said, "But, hey, how about just putting it back here?" I said, "You know, I keep Pete. I watch it a little bit from back here, but not in front of me." So as I'm in the environment, I'm walking in wisdom. Wise as a serpent, harmless as doves. I'm walking in wisdom because people immediately, hey, he had a drink in front of him. I know he drinks. I saw him at the reunion. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. So I'm always watchful. It was a few of us, they wanted a picture. And there was a table behind us, once again, with a bunch of drinks on it. I said, "How about if we just move those drinks or move over like this?" I said, "I don't have any problem, you know." So I, when I'm in that environment, I'm walking in wisdom. If you can't do that, you keep yourself out of those environments, because you're going to really cause the enemies of God a chance to blaspheme because you fell off into doing what they're doing. If you can't do it, don't go. Don't go. "No, Pastor, I'm going to the next reunion." Are you? What you going to be doing? If you can't handle those environments, don't go in them. But God has called us to have contact without being contaminated by them. And therefore, they should see a difference. The Bible says they should be able to discern between that which is holy and that which is unholy. And there should be a difference. Not that we're better in any kind of way. We're not better. I don't come off better. I see them, and I'm like, "Yo, bro, what's going on, man? Hey, what's happening, man? Yeah, well, good to see you, bro." And we bring up some old high school stuff. And I don't go there, you know, walking around with my Bible under my arm. I don't go around doing that kind of craziness. I don't do that. They are, now we've been out of school over 40 some years, so they already know what I'm doing. They already know that. So, but they always come up and say, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Yeah, bro, what's going on? My mother, can you say a prayer to the big guy up there for my mother?" See, that kind of stuff, they know who to go to. But see, if I was there smoking and joking right along with them, they wouldn't give me a second thought. You got to know how to operate in those situations. So if God did all this for us, how could we go back to practicing these sins? That's the whole point that Paul was making. We should have compassion for those who are still out there, because that used to be us. We were lost in our sin. We were drowning in some alcohol bottle or some smoke cloud We were drowning in relationship to relationship and sex with this person. And we were drowning in the stuff. And it was out of those conditions that God, that we cried out to God to rescue us. And he saved us, washed us, cleansed us, set us apart. So this was the message that Paul was trying to get over to the Corinthians, and God's will, we'll pick it up in verse 12 next week. Let me conclude with this. In this message, Changed by Christ, we saw how Paul told them how they used to live and don't deceive themselves into thinking that they can practice these sins and still inherit the kingdom of God. He said, don't be deceived. Let me ask you this. Are you deceived today? Do you think that you can practice these sins and still inherit the kingdom of God? It's not true. But you can repent of your sins and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the result will be a changed life. Do you want to be washed? Do you want to be cleansed? There's so many women that I've known after being at the club and gotten drunk and ended up in some stranger's bed, and they wonder how they got there. And not only that, then they get in the shower because they're trying to wash, they feel dirty. And no amount of water or soap can wash that filth off. But I know some blood that can. The blood of Jesus Christ can wash you clean. This is what he told me. He said, you were washed. You were washed. And there are some of you that need to be washed today, because only Jesus can cleanse you and forgive you. You want to be cleansed? Come to Jesus and he'll make you new. That's what he does. That's what he specializes in. He does for us what we can't do on our own. And this is what he does. So let's close in prayer and go from here. Lord, we do pray. Lord, thanking you for this word you've given us. And Lord, we just pray that you have mercy upon us. Lord, we have been involved in these things. There are some here who have fallen into these things. And there are some, Lord, that are practicing these things. Lord, draw them to you. Some that need to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I pray that you would draw them today. And as every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if that's you today and you say, you know what, I need to be washed, I need to be cleansed, I've been involved in these things, I've been practicing these things, just lift up your hand so I can pray for you. If you're here, lift it up high so I can pray for you. These lights are bright. God bless you. I see you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? Being truthful. God sees it anyway. You're just acknowledging what God sees. Anybody else? Oh, God bless you. I see you over there as well. Hey, also, if you never prayed to accept Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, lift up your hand so I can pray for you as well. God bless you. I see you back there in the back. Anybody else? Lift it up high so if you've never prayed to accept Christ. So I'm going to lead us in two prayers. One prayer is going to be for those who feel you have a relationship with the Lord and you just have fallen back into some old practices. And then the second prayer will be for those who personally accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, I just pray for your precious people. Lord, for those who have fallen into these things and they want to be cleansed, they want to be washed, I pray that you'll wash them, Lord. I pray that they will repent and say, I'm sorry for doing these things, Lord. I pray that they would repent and look to you for the blood of Jesus to wash them white as snow. And for those who never prayed to accept Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, just repeat this prayer after me. Just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I believe you died on the cross and was buried and rose again just for me. Come into my heart I make you my Lord and Savior. Help me to live for you by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Tony Clark. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Tony's teaching ministry by visiting calvarynn.org.